Maester Lewin looked from Caitlin to her son. "I have prepared a list of those we might wish to consider for the vacant offices," he said, offering Rob a paper plucked from his sleeve.
Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched for the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community. This is Season 10 of the White Book Podcast.
I know, it would have been more fitting for, you know, election business, but this was the closest thing to some kind of list or poll or something that I could find for this week, so there we go. The word poll, by the way, does not appear in the series at all, ever, anywhere.
I mean, it's not a democracy at any point?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I'm sure, like, poll arm does, right?
Maybe
someone's got a pole arm at some point.
Pole arm. Granted, it's obviously a different type of pole. Hey, pole arm does not actually appear either.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Separate game of George. Someone on binge mode, a group of men, was like, "Oh my god, the best part of this is George R. R. Martin is going to finish the book." And I didn't even answer. I just started giggling uncontrollably. Close the
thing. Yeah, I don't blame you.
I am Aaron.
I'm Roy.
Dang it.
How do you two do that every week? No matter the podcast. And this is the White Book, where we talk about a Game of Thrones, the living card game, seconded.
Sorry, I was just looking up the term pole and when it was used in a sense close to our sense. It was the 17th century, so it's probably a little too late for the fiction that Martin is sort of basing his language usage off.
That's actually earlier than I would have expected. I would have guessed 18th, so cool.
All right, so today we have an exclusive for a Game of Thrones, the card game second edition, going forward. The Conclave has been elected, and they are deciding what they want to do with the restricted. As such, they are putting forward a poll. The poll is going to have lots of questions about lots of different subjects, but we have five questions along with the options being given to discuss amongst ourselves. So this is your preview of those five questions. So hopefully we can help you form an opinion, should you not be totally definitive, or at least get you thinking about it so that you can get there by the time this poll is posted.
So, question. So this is effectively like our preview for the preview season, right? Like FFG used to give us two cards out of a chapter pack. We got five questions.
Well, two cards out of a chapter pack.
Well, they used to once upon a time. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Mainly, I'm just wondering, so did they give like other questions from this big long poll to like other podcasts to kind of feed these out here? Do I need to actually, you know, go listen to banter, you know, 3 months from now?
So I've been speaking to certain members of the Conclave that I am already friends with a fair amount. Anyway, and we were going to talk about the restricted list that Roy and I worked on for, Roy, what's the name of your tournament?
Trial by Combat 2, which will be held on April 25th, 2020 on the nice. Iron Throne.
So as we were going to discuss that, but Ryan already did a video about that, which can be found on
The White Book YouTube channel.
So please give that a look if you're curious about that restricted list. A lot of that will inform what we discussed today. So rather than just repeat the same things, I reached out to the Conclave. I added a few members into a group chat and said, hey, what can we talk about? What can we preview that's coming? And they were like, hey, want to discuss these questions? So here we are.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
Investigative journalism, Glazer style.
Yeah. Hey, anyone want to give me some shit? Which has two meanings. Both are true. Ready to get started?
Let's do this.
What? I was born ready.
Wow. Oh, I wish I knew what basketball player that was. That was a basketball player's nickname. Oh, well, whatever.
Was born ready? Was their nickname?
One just... No, born ready.
Okay.
All right. So the first question is, are you in favor of banning cards? The three options are yes, yes, but only if they're immediately replaced with player-created version, and no. Where do you gentlemen fall on that question?
I'll be nice and say, Roy, you can go. That way we don't just start talking on top of each other again.
I am... Well, since this poll is constructed in a relatively binary yes-no, I'm going to say no. I'm not in favor of banning cards. Explicitly banning cards. I know people... really like small restricted lists, but I tend to be a bigger restricted list person, and the mechanics of a restricted list I think are more interesting than the mechanics of a ban list, and I think can lead to more cards seeing play than just strictly banning a certain card. Obviously, there's always cases where sometimes banning a card is acceptable. But if we're going into black and white here, I'm going to be on the no camp of banning cards.
All right. For myself, I think I'm probably going to go with the yes, but only if they are immediately replaced with a player created version. I don't think with the way the card pool is and the distance there will probably be between us and new cards really, really rolling, I don't think I want to see the card pool just completely reduced. And I think there are probably, with some work, some tweaked versions of cards that would be allowable that I would otherwise have banned. So, I mean, those are probably the lowest hanging fruit of, quote, new cards, end quote, for the council to produce, right? Fixed versions. So I say attack those.
My answer is reasonably complicated. I would be voting no. However, I think there should absolutely be bannings, specifically bannings of combo cards. I am not against a ban / redesign of cards, but I would rather see that happen through something like rotation than just because cards are powerful. Given how things are now, I'm voting no. I think you ban, say, someone always tells. Double your strength. You murdered her children? Is that their correct name? Anyone?
No.
Are you talking about the new one or the old
one? The old one. You double the strength.
Yeah, and then
double
it. Yeah, that's you murder her children.
So I'm all for banning cards like you murdered your children. I don't think they immediately need to be replaced. I think they could just go away. I don't think there's an option that really gives me an option for, like, yeah, just ban combo and restrict everything else. So I would be voting no for this. Although I'm not against yes, but only if they're immediately replaced. I think the only, like, non-interesting answer is just straight yes. Because I'm obviously in favor of some kind of restricted list to help balance things. I like being able to play Wyvern, for example, despite him being really strong. And should he not be something immediately up for redesign, I think he should still be played I think banning him, I think restricting him is much more interesting for gameplay than ban.
I am fascinated. Aaron managed to answer all three of those options in his breakdown.
Well, I explained each. I still chose none.
I don't think you did banning cards a huge amount of justice. So just to sort of be fair to people who are in favor of banning cards, I think the argument is that if you ban one or two key cards, a bunch of stuff can come off the restricted list that's primarily there for synergy reasons, that the overall synergy package is overpowered rather than, you know, sheer like individual card by card power level. And, you know, there are some people who believe the a slimmed down restricted list is superior to a bloated one that you need to have because some cards like, say, Annals or Littlefinger's Meddling or...
I thought I addressed that with combo. Yes, ban the combo card.
Yeah, well, you said combo, but I'm trying... Or Skagos, like, you know, some cards that just sort of like warp or and to be completely honest, going back to your example, Wyman warps a whole bunch of other Stark cards around his existence, and just simply banning him means that something like Skagos could come off, Mira could come off the restricted list because their power level immediately shrinks because they don't have that synergy with Wyman, even though Wyman is only a combo card in the narrowest sense of the meaning of the word combo.
Yes, that's fair. I don't think Wyman should be banned for that reason. That would be for me, but that would be for me a ban and redesign, right? Like, I don't think Wyman should exist. I think he's too important to the identity of the faction. I think we've come far enough that that's a relevant place that we are. That a card that does something similar to Wyman, but say a Wyman that killed or a Wyman that was limit once per phase or once per round, I think would be a fine way to ban, but then immediately redesign without changing anything. So the yes is where my problem is here.
I think I'm with Aaron on that one. I mean, I think if we're at least going to use Wyman as the example for this type of scenario, I think we're kind of remiss if we don't mention how the Stark sacrifice archetype was lamented by us on this show as never coming together until they got Wyman as that linchpin piece. And while I think he's maybe a bit above curve, I think a flat ban serves to be a little too destructive to an entire archetype and a swath of cards that interact with that versus replacing him with a toned down version.
All right. We ready to move on to question two? I feel like question two is remarkably easy for the people on this podcast. Should a goal of the restrict list be to mix up the meta? Yes. Or no? Let's go Will first.
I want to choose neither of these options. I want a third option that says temporarily. I want it to be used until new cards can be reasonably produced.
Sure, but once new cards are produced, they're not going to fix absolutely everything in one shot, right? So, like, you'll still have a restricted list, and there will still be decks that are the best. At that point, should we just be like, well, these decks are the best with these cards, let's just wait for new cards? Or should a restricted list shake up the meta? Because there's always going to be the option for a restricted list at a greater speed than producing an entire new set of cards.
Sure, but, like, in that type of scenario, you're talking about decks becoming inordinately strong, right? So then the question is, for me would be, have they crossed into the oppressive sort of territory where they need to be addressed strictly from a power level perspective? That I would be behind. But if we're doing it only from the perspective of mixing up the meta at that point, I would say no.
Okay, so there's a lot of moving parts here. I mean, my answer, I think, is clearly going to be yes. But I think it's because a restricted list is among many tools in the design development toolbox to make for an interesting game going forward. Because as a player, like it's clear, at least to me, back when the game was a monetized game by FFG, the card releases could not really keep up with and either A, solve through printing cards competitive balance problems, or B, just print enough cards that, you know, the meta is just constantly shaking up from the churn. So it couldn't do either thing. It couldn't, you know, there wasn't enough design. Design lag was too long with the chapter pack model, plus how long it took them to design cycles for them to react dynamically to a meta. And then they didn't print enough cards fast enough for just to simply overwhelm problems with new cards. So these problems are going to remain in some ways with a player run thing, because since no one's being paid to do this anymore, I can't imagine card release is going to be significantly faster than FFG's. So, you know, there's only going to be a certain number of player created cards. So what's the other way that you can keep the game fresh and keep the game interesting? That's by adding and removing cards from the format. And the great thing about an LCG turned into a DCG that's run by the players committee is, you know, there's no monetary cost. If FFG bans my Wyman or bans my, you know, I don't know, Mira or Wars to Come, at the end of the day, I didn't spend $150 on a copy of the war, on a full playset of the Wars to Come. I paid $14.99 for a chapter pack, of which three copies of that were Wars to Come.
Interesting. Which is, you chose one. You chose a box card.
Yeah, Wars to Come. Sorry. Wyman. So I paid for three copies. I mean, back, it, you know, Wars to Come is even less of an economic.
I know. I just thought it was a good.
I just went to a possible ban thing. And so, you know, since nobody's losing money really when you ban or restrict cards, you know, that argument's not there. So it's just one of many tools in a designer's / developer's toolkit. And I don't think we should take that away from them. You know, I know many people don't like that, don't like restricted lists for that way. And they think that metas should evolve naturally. But the problem is two things. Thrones metas evolve slowly because we have a small card pool. And then two, we're one large format, one and a half if you include Melee, that is played. You can't, if I get bored with Thrones standard joust, there's no other format in Thrones is really played a huge amount of numbers. The closest thing would be Melee or maybe the War format, but the War format's only played four times a year and is a huge time investment. And then Melee, of course, is not played at a competitive level very often either. So, you know, maybe there are metas that play at kitchen tabley, but if I wanted to play competitively, I can't move to another format except at specific times of the year, which of course right now, since we don't have IRL tournaments, can't happen. So that means that we're stuck with standard joust. And that means that we need tools like the restricted list to mix up the meta and keep it dynamic and interesting.
I do at least have to say, Roy did bring me around on a point regarding card release schedule. That is a very important factor that would affect my opinion on this question.
So my answer was always going to be obviously yes. I think Roy did a fantastic job of it. Ready for next?
Do it.
Ideally, how often would you like to see a new restricted? I'd like to go first with this. I'm going to go over the options. Every month. Every 3 months. Every 6 months. Annually. 6 to 8 weeks after new content is introduced. I kind of hope this one lets you choose more than one answer. But I think the really clear answer here is every 3 months. Given card releases, every 6 months is way too slow. FFG did 3 times a year, and it was too slow for almost everyone. And that 3 times a year means every 4 months. So I think every 3 months is the only really reasonable answer here. I think you can go more slowly in times when you're releasing a mass amount of new content. Such that you can choose to wait a little longer if you know you've got meta shakeup cards coming. But I think at each restricted list, you should announce the date of the next one. And over to Roy.
Yeah, I more or less agree with Glazer. I think it's either 3 months or the 6 to 8 weeks after new content is introduced. So I think there should be a steady cadence of basically my ideal situation would be content release, set period of time, about maybe halfway between the next content release, a restricted list, a banned and restricted list announcement, and then a new piece of content. So that, you know, and where there's a clear cadence and clear schedule that players can expect. So, you know, say we release a new set in January. So that means the you know, restricted list is in March, and then the next, you know, release is in May, and then blah, 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 blah. That they're clearly spaced, that everybody, that they're predictable, that, you know, players know what to expect, and they sort of know where they are in a format, and that there's this regular cadence where the format is constantly shifting in a way in which once it becomes solved or stagnant, that it's getting shaken up and freshened again, either by brand new cards or by, you know, pulling some of the heat out of the format. Or if you really wanted to, and I think this is much more dangerous, ejecting a bunch of heat into the format by unrestricting cards or unbanning them. Ooh. So,
I mean, if the goal were to just shake up or mix up the meta, then I think you would have to be unrestricting cards. It wouldn't be feasible to just keep adding.
Depends how many cards.
I mean, that's a big philosophical argument that we probably shouldn't have at this.
Yeah, that's. But I think from practical terms, if I go along with the goal of the restricted list being to mix up the meta, I do feel that practically speaking, you would have to allow things to come off. But also practically speaking, in regards to this question, I think quarterly, every 3 months, that is the best plan. I think regularity, as Roy said, is extremely important. And since the question of when content releases, at what speed, at what size, that sort of thing, is a relevant question to this discussion. And now that Roy has pointed me toward it, I just keep thinking about that. And so the 68 weeks after question, I feel, option, is just a little too up in the air for me right now. That might wind up being once a year. That might be twice a year. That might be, you know, monthly. I don't know. I feel like quarterly is a much more reasonable pace to let things kind of breathe in the meta as events come and go, and to allow it to set a regular, fixed, expectable schedule. As well, if the goal is to mix up the meta, then, like you guys said before, the restricted list gives a much easier way to do that than just waiting on new cards. So the restricted list releases, if they are quarterly, that would give you a means to keep the metagame ebbing and flowing different ways while you wait on cards. So I just keep coming back to that being such a big variable here.
I'd like to emphasize an earlier point I made that I really think is important, that the dates be announced. Tournaments are announced well in advance, and knowing whether or not and what extent restricted list is expected before or after the tournament is hugely important. We've all had major tournaments that we prep for, and then FFG drops restricted list because they never announced when they were coming, and everyone is scrambling. So is it going to be legal? To what extent is it going to be legal? Is it not going to be legal? Well, I think those dates of legality with advance notice is extraordinarily important to the player.
Yeah, I mean, even current examples, right, of Anil dropping a new World Cup restricted list a few weeks into everybody's prep for that tournament. So,
just America's prep.
Yeah, fair enough. But I do agree that set schedules very, very important. If you
that did bring something.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, please.
I was just going to say, if you did quarterly or whatever, I mean, then you can map out the whole year and say there will be an announcement on what, the 2nd of January, I would probably go 2nd of April instead of the 1st, and so on and so forth. Like, whether you make changes or not, there's always an announcement at that time. It's mapped out on a calendar. Everybody can plan around it for the whole year.
So that brings me to another point that I was actually going to save, but I think it comes up really effectively here now that we mentioned the Anil issue. It's just like, geez, really hit that horn, huh? I think we need a third restricted list. We have Joust, we have Melee, we also should have a team format. That is in effect for war format events and Team America or Team, how would we explain that? Or World Cup style event. So whether it be war format events or World Cup style events.
I was just going to say, I wonder if you could even find a way to fit in like tag team, you know, two-headed type events into that as well. All of the team type stuff.
Whatever anyone wants to do as a bigger event, like, I think there should be an official restricted list. Again, the once every 3 months works perfectly for this, right? Because there's very, very rarely a couple of war format events within 3 months of each other. So you're getting a different experience each time. I think that is an important potential add in increasing the, let's say, uniformity and interest in those events and maintaining the enthusiasm of the community.
Yeah.
Right. Anything?
I don't know if war formats need their own general restricted list. I do think it's probably, I mean, particularly team events. I think every team event has its own specific needs, and I think announcing specific format rules for that event is probably the safest bet to do, and more likely to create novel experiences than creating a set list like the Joust and Melee restricted list that all team events draw from. That would be what I would say. But
I think it's more fun if it's consistent and announced in advance. I also think it adds that extra layer of like, we know Greyjoy is really good, but we have this extra thing restricted in Greyjoy that we don't just. Maybe we were a little quicker to pull the trigger on that potential problem thing. So how high do you go on Greyjoy? I like the tension in both drafting, bidding, and building. And I think doing that just the Joust list limits the extent to which it is interesting for anyone but the king. Whereas I think a larger restricted list increases the interest for it. A separate restricted list increases the interest for everybody involved.
I think there are more knobs that you can turn in the team formats than just simply a restricted list in the way we think about it for Joust and for Melee. You know, like the number of agendas that players can run and those kind of things that I think actually are much more interesting and create more novel play experiences than a restricted list. So, and again, like what a specific event wants to do with those kind of knobs, I think is more important and more interesting than, you know, a restricted list that's like, okay, the 2021 team event Jousted, you know, restricted list is these 30 cards versus like, you know, Thrones War has this list. 6 months later, this event has this list. 3 months later, this event has this list, I think.
So would be better. That's actually what led me to this, because a lot of the recent war events, because they're going against I don't have the word homogeneity, which is probably not a word.
Homogeneity?
Of deck. Homogeneity, thank you. Of decks is they're saying like one agenda per team or one agenda. You know what I mean? And like that defeats a lot of the purpose of the team format to me. I think like it almost has to be at least two per team for it to be interesting. But then you end up with clear power decks and clear power agenda really uninteractive and not way. And I think one of the ways to solve that would be a group.
I mean, again, I think this is its own episode, but I think that that's not so much a problem of the size of these events have rapidly shrunk over time. Like there's been a big contraction of the size of war format events. I think that the war formats kind of were at their ideal sort of like design position in 2019 with JND2 and Thrones War and Thrones Toberfest, I think all of them had sort of decided on a pretty good rules. But when you've shrunk the pool of players down by, in some cases, half, you know, or two thirds of what they were the previous year, I think that that's where you run into issues where with some of those things. And we need to figure out, again, I don't think people have entirely appreciated how these formats should work in the smaller player pool that will exist in the DCG space versus the LCG space. And
what is DCG?
Dead.
You know, all right, we're gonna go with PDG thing.
Okay, player
or PC.
Yeah. PCG.
I name all of my documents dead game file X. Yeah. So like, but we can pretend we're a little nicer than that.
But what I'm trying to say is, you know, it's not officially sponsored by FFG anymore. And I think that we're in a brave new world. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, if by the time October rolls around, and we're allowed to do IRL events, the chance of Thrones Toberfest being a war format event is close to zero, simply because I don't think that the United States can support multiple war format events anymore in a way that really creates an experience that people came to enjoy in those formats. And I would rather try to experiment with something else that is more novel and creates novel experiences for players and doesn't step on the toes of what California is, you know, the OG masters of doing and that the Midwest has, you know, committed itself to doing as well. I think running four of those events in the Anglosphere is probably too much with the size of our player pool at this point. So, you know, it's things like that. We just need to adjust to what this new reality is. And I think that once people do that, we won't need a restricted list to create novel experiences when there's only one or two team events a year in the United States, one in the UK.
So I'm going to drop that. I think you are underestimating the extent to which these are a draw for the player community. But I think we've hammered this point enough that we should probably move on to the next and most important question.
Sure.
Okay. What type of restricted list would you prefer? These are the three options. Yep. A smaller list of restricted cards with bans as appropriate. A larger list of restricted cards with few to no ban. Groupings or pods in order to separate problematic interactions. And let's explain what each of these are before we give opinion. Is that fair to everybody?
Sure.
All right, a small list of restricted cards with bans is appropriate. Would be like banning all the combo and then the very most powerful cards in the game with a few restricted cards. That would be like no Marine in the meta, no Wyman in the meta. Like just gone, completely banned. You do not have an option to play with these cards, but you can play with any other cards you want. A larger list of restricted cards with few to no bans is something that Roy and I just put together. You can find it on the Beyond the White Book YouTube. It is restricting functionally for play experience, saying the fun of the game is in the discovery. Go discover things. Here's a big restricted list. We're at a point in the card pool where a larger restricted list, if neither of the other options are chosen, is almost a necessity, because moving the meta in such a way that there's not just a clear dominant deck is often problematic, i.e. it requires introducing something else that would be overpowered to the detriment of many. And finally, groupings or pods in order to separate problem interactions, which would be, for example, unrestricting, say, Mira, but saying if your restricted list is Wyman or Skagos, you cannot run Mira. So it would be saying functionally there is a second sublist where if you were running Wars to Come, you couldn't run
Breaking Ties.
Like, you couldn't run Breaking Ties, or you couldn't run Trade, for example. Where it would take apart powerful combos. As far as I understand, this would be done on a limited basis. So it would be a medium-sized restricted list with groupings and pods that would then break up the most
abusive conflict. Those are the three. Let's go, Will.
I'm just honestly not a fan of the groupings and pods sort of version here. I'm of the mind in general that anything that increases like outside the deck complexity of things that have to be remembered and planned for is stuff I want to stay away from. I don't want a flow chart just to construct my deck. If playing X, then Y. If Y, then Z is... I feel...
Well, there would be no Y, then Z. It's just...
At the moment. I've seen people advocating this type of thing in the Thrones group before that were just a nightmare to read because all of their back and forth. You can do this, but that is not an option
as per the player's committee. Yes, but that is not an option as per the player's committee. That is not something we're voting on. That is not a consideration.
This question here, out of the questions we have available to us, it does not list how many levels down they would like this to go.
It's a two level. Kyle asked us to make that clear. It is only a level one, level two. There will be no other level.
I would still say that is great to say, but it is not in writing. I'm a banker. I only deal with what's in writing.
It's definitely accurate, but okay, that's fair. You can do that, but it's accurate that this is a two-tier system.
Regardless, I still don't really even like the two-tier system. Out of these options, I personally like the sound of the restricted list with bans as appropriate. The smaller restricted list. I accidentally left that word out. I don't mind truly busted combo-y cycling interactions being completely banned. But I would hopefully like to do things from more of a surgical scalpel sort of perspective than a hammer sort of perspective. So I'm all for the narrowest solution, because they usually have the least blowback down the line.
Right.
So I'm in favor of the second option. I think just partially out of just tradition with Thrones. Thrones has the entire time I've been playing it, which is coming up on half a decade, more than half a decade, actually, in August, has used restricted lists rather than bans. That's more of an emotional argument. But I also think that I don't have a problem with a larger restricted list as long as it's clear and consistently published and promoted. And I think that actually one of the good things is ThronesDB has made a lot of progress on making what the restricted list is. And I think that with that technology in place in ThronesDB, I think that actually creates more space for restricted lists and for players to understand what they are. When you make a list of ThronesDB and you go and you click save and then you go and you view it and it shows you have two restricted cards on it, that's pretty easy for you to understand. I can't have two restricted cards. I've got to change one of these. Versus before, when it was a lot unclearer. I think that's a huge boon to the community that's been happening there. So, and I am also with Will that I think that the groupings pod, I'm skeptical of the groupings pod system. I do think that's more confusing than restricted list, which is simply like, here's a long list of cards, pick one, versus, okay, I picked one from A and now I get to pick from column B, I think is a little bit less intuitive. I mean, it's obviously not advanced mathematics, but it's still slightly less intuitive. So I like this sort of middle ground between a large restricted list versus, you know, a larger ban list, but a smaller restricted list. Because as appropriate, it's doing a lot of work in that.
that's fair.
In this question. Like, I would probably consider as appropriate to be more than maybe Will would, if Will wants a more wide open format. And then other people might want, a lot of cards banned or whatever. So I think that I wish it was a little clearer with what they meant by as appropriate.
Yeah.
It would obviously, all of these include at least a reasonable amount of discretion on the Conclave's part, right? Like, you have to believe that the Conclave is going to manage it. That's why you see. So, obviously, my own choice has always been to everyone. I doubt anyone is like, this is my first episode of the White Book, and I've never heard these guys talk about it. My choice has always been to for every. However, I think we should experiment with the grouping. We've done two in 2.5 editions of the game at this point. I think the groupings and pods are an interesting direction to take it. And I come armed with an example. We restricted the Knight of Flowers, the new Tyrell one, the Shadows, in our larger restricted list for Roy's event, which is
Trial by Combat 2, which will be held on April 25th, 2020 on the Iron Throne.
So, we restricted that Knight of Flowers. If that card were separated from Kingdom of Shadows, and you had to run a banner for it, I don't know if it should be restricted. I think that is a card that is better restricted in a pod with Kingdom of Shadows than it is just restricted. Is that necessary? No. Is that slightly more complex? Sure. But I don't think we need to worry about the new casual player in the way we did when this was an MSG run problem. It's very hard for me to imagine too many people getting into a game that is run by a players committee, and those that are willing to do so are likely to be intense enough that that's not possible. So that being the case, I think I'm willing to take on the extra, and I don't think, as long as it's kept to two tiers, I absolutely unequivocally oppose it being more than two tiers, but I've spoken to both Hano and Schoenthal a fair amount, and our own Vansel just posted in our White Book chat that this is a two-tier system only. There is no consideration of this being anything else. As such, I truly believe that the pods are interesting in different directions to take it, so as to differentiate the era. And if they didn't work and they were confused and we had to disqualify more than a person here or there, you just change it the next pack.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those things, and this is why I'm slightly skeptical of errata that's like explicit errata of pre-existing cards, like changing Annals of Castle Black to something else versus, say, printing like a new card called Annals to Castle Black. Is while I don't think the number of like new players is going to be super huge, I think that the number of people who've come in and out of Thrones with its new player committee run system is going to be extremely high. And you want to make the barrier for entry for somebody who plays maybe once or twice a year to be like as low as possible. And saying that, like, let's pick, like, well, I'll just go to Wars to Come because I've been using that. You know, Wars to Come just does something radically different. You know, let's say, you know, Aaron, let's use Aaron as an example. You know, Aaron hasn't looked at a card in, you know, 7 months, but I convinced him to come to Philly for a tournament for like my birthday or something. I'm like, I'm going to hand you a deck. I'm going to hand you a deck to play this card. Or Scott. Scott would be the even better example of this because Aaron's been active in these things. So Scott Levine.
But you literally made me do this. That was the time I played the Tyrell Stark Knights thing.
Yeah. So, but Scott would be a better modern example of this, right? Scott, our former co-host on the show. Scott hasn't picked up a Thrones card in a long time, but I could easily convince Scott to come to a tournament here for some special occasion, particularly when social distancing gets lifted. You know, and I hand him a deck and, you know, Wars to Come, it's a Wars to Come deck, and he thinks Wars to Come does this, but then he looks at the cards right before the tournament begins and it does something completely different. That's a problem. And I think we're going to get way more of that. And we want to try to avoid that versus, you know, Scott gets, I'm like, hey, Scott, the players can be printed a bunch of new cards and, well, there's a bunch of new cards for him to learn. But so I think we need to be careful with like these overlapping experiences and fundamentally changing long running attachments and understandings and experiences that people have with cards through errata. And that sort of brings me back around to sort of Glazer's point here. And then why I think that sort of like keeping to the way Thrones has done things in the past, where it's healthy and good for the game, is, I think, what we should continue to do. So that's why, again, another reason why I support, you know, keeping the game's overall approach towards the restricted list similar to what it's been when FFG ran it.
I don't feel super strongly about this. I just like change as a general rule. And I think that if Scott were to play at that tournament, it would be at the behest of someone like Roy, or if someone who, I'm going to use a totally different example, I'm going to say Greg decided to come back to a tournament, like just at utter random, right? They were like, I'm bored and this quarantine has lasted 18 months now, so I'm going to play Thrones again because I've run out of hobbies, right? That didn't sound quite arrogant enough to be Greg, but we're going to pretend. So that happens. I think everyone that does that has a Will or a Roy, a friend that is still involved or plugged into the game, or they don't have the emotional investment to come back. And if they have that person that is there, that person will just explain it to them or hand them a deck or whatever, and can explain a two-tiered system simply enough that I don't think it is a roadblock. Sorry. Over that came from. Any further thoughts or ready for the last question?
I'm good for the last one.
What is your preferred legality for the things we do for love in fact? Three options. All cards should be legal, heavy restriction. Agendas only, all other cards not legal, or nothing. No cards. Let's go. I don't remember who I called on that. So I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
I unpopularly, apparently, believe that all cards should be legal and we should just restrict the crap out of them. I'm for experimentation. I'm for seeing how these things fit. Almost no one I talk to believes the same thing I do. I think Roy might actually be the only one. But I think they're fun. And I think if you restrict them, then, or restrict almost all of them and then ban like two or three, we are in a much more interesting metagame as we have to learn a lot. And then we could always re-ban later, redouble restrict, or should grouping the pods happen? Like if Varys is busted with bleeds, you restrict bleeds, and then say if bleeds is a restricted card, you cannot run Varys. So that's my take. Someone start talking. Go.
Go ahead, Roy.
I do agree with Glazer. I tend to think that all the cards should be legal. I mean, there's maybe one or two of them that I think probably shouldn't be. Like, Wheels Within Wheels probably shouldn't be legal. But, you know, there's like one or two, but I think like the 28 other cards in the pack should be legal with other restrictions. And I'll be actually, this will be probably one of the few times in the history of this podcast that Glazer and I have been on together where I'm going to be much more aggressive than Glazer about this. I think that the community's like knee jerk opposition to this pack strikes me as ridiculous. And particularly in a time in which we're thirsty for new cards and new content, the just continuing opposition to wanting to experiment with more than just the agenda's legal, I think is a huge roadblock to building up just continuing interest. Because, like, I'm sorry, but playing with basically the same cards that we've been playing with since December is boring. And the restricted lists that have come out help make it somewhat more interesting. But the fact that we have this pile of cardboard that FFG printed that we could use to make the meta more interesting is something that a resource that I just cannot understand why people won't be more experimental with it and push the envelope more. I was really happy when Vac and Austin and the Olivers decided to make the agendas legal for Dance of Dragons. I was happy to see that Thrones War made some of the cards legal. Like, I just think more of that needs to happen, and people sort of like knee-jerk bin, it's a bin pack, which is a great meme. It should belongs in the garbage can, I think, is just really narrow-minded and is holding back the space in the game between when the FFG support ended and when the players committee is going to pick up in full force and be able to print its and design its own cards.
I'm torn here between agendas only and all cards. I think maybe I'm going to go with, gosh, I want there to be a most cards with restrictions, but maybe ban a couple option. I definitely think the agendas are worthwhile to have in the game. And just in general, it seems like such a shame to not utilize FFG's last product as poorly conceived as parts of it were, to not take advantage of that and use it for the committee. So I guess maybe I'm going to go with all cards legal, but with heavy restrictions in the end. I just like having that greater variety and pool to build and tinker with. Like, I like flipping through stuff and seeing what I can find. So the more cards, the merrier. So there we go.
All right. And with that, we have finished our preview of the Players Committee, or Conclave as they prefer to be called, survey for the future of the Game of Thrones living card game. Anyone have anything to add?
I'm good.
All right. Please check out Beyond the White Book for a restricted list. What? Nope. A restricted list.
Nope, it's the White Book.
Wait, what? It's the White
Book? The White Book.
Oh.
The White Book YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
That's where I put.
Please check the White Book YouTube channel, not Beyond the White Book. I don't even remember what we had that for. The White Book YouTube channel for an example of a larger restricted list. And please let us know your thoughts until this survey comes out. And want to say something particularly dangerous?
I do want to just double promote Trial by Combat 2, which is the weekend of April 25th. Registration is open until 11 a.m. that morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the East Coast time here in the United States. It's $10 to join the tournament. 100% of the tournament output, the door, will be going to charity. The winner will be able to decide where the lion's share of it goes, but the top four will be able to decide percentages of that door and where they go to charities of their choice. So it's, you know, people will be playing not only for fun, but for charity to help people out in these really difficult times. And also we'll be providing day-long coverage on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/faux intel. I will be there. FAUXINTEL. So that's twitch.tv/FAUXINTEL. I'm sorry. And faux intel, or fox intel, as I like to say. And it is going to be from roughly 11:30 a.m. to the end of the tournament. We'll be providing all day coverage. I'll be on there all day. Glazer will be joining me for a good chunk of it. The other folks who will be joining us are a little bit up in the air, but we'll have other announcements later. So please feel free to check that out. Maybe between now and then, Glazer and I will do a little bit more content about that events restricted list, but we'll see what happens. So, but please either join the tournament on the 25th or come watch us on the 25th.
Sounds like a great setup. I look forward to hearing more and to seeing how the event goes at the end of the month.
Are you going to play?
Me playing an online event? Maybe.
That's impossible.
Hey, I played in one the other day. The local
one. Played in the local one, right?
Yeah, the local one to raise a little bit of money to throw to our local game store. So I'm not gonna say it's impossible. I'm going to say it is possible.
And you're not going to say it's unpossible either. Very, very well done.
It's Kim Possible.
Ooh. Interzone something something?
I broke everyone with an old Disney cartoon reference. Whoops.
Hey, join us next week for our non-Thrones content of Props and Flops, where we all scrounge together whatever media we've been watching on quarantine and prop and or slop it.
Sure to be lots of fun and at least 50% less talk about Tiger King this week.
I'll only be talking about Persona 5 Royal, so.
Spoilers!